While you're still standing, turn with us in your Bible today, the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. Appreciate the good Spirit of God in the house of God this morning. Sure am glad we got a good place we can go to church. I don't take that lightly. There's folks driving a long way to get here, and it is my heart that you get something when you get here. Because gas, even though it's coming down, it's still too high to drive to a dead church. Amen. Somebody say amen. And I appreciate your efforts to get to the house of God this morning. We've been preaching the last three messages out of the book of Joshua. I'd like to continue in that thought this morning, found in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. They went, came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. It's told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered in thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time the shutting of the gate that it was dark that the men went out. They went not to pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. The men pursued after them the way to Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that he'll deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, get you the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's house home unto thee. Shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou utter this our business, we will be quiet of thine oath that made us to swear. Verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Thank you for standing of honor in the reading of the Word of God this morning. Father, we love you, and so we thank you for this good time together at your house. God, at your place. Thank you for the songs of Zion that's been sung, God, that's touched our heart this morning by thy Spirit. Now, Lord, I sure am a needy preacher today, and I'd ask that you'd help me preach. God, I pray you'd let me be a blessing to the people of God today. If it be one here lost, I pray you'd deal with their heart. God, you'd move on them by the Holy Ghost, draw them to a place of repentance. Help us now. Do great things among us and to us today. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask you, amen and amen. In the book of Joshua, we've talked in past days about Moses and his missed blessing. Moses was a great man. God allowed him to get over to a great mountain and look out into the promised land. But he said, because of your disobedience, because you struck the rock and didn't speak to the rock, he said, it's going to penalize you from going into the promised land. I know a lot of people have made bad decisions. They can look in the promised land, but they can't enjoy the promised land. I sure am glad by the grace of God, even though I've made blunders and mistakes, my God in heaven has forgiven me and has washed me in the blood. And in spite of myself, by His mercy and grace, He's allowed me to venture on in to the promised land. Boy, we see in the book of Joshua the missed blessing of the promised land. Then you'll notice when Moses died, Moses, the law stopped. It only took us so far. And he called Joshua, which the same word in the Greek means Jesus. Aren't you glad that Moses, the law, could only bring you so far? But it took a heavenly Joshua named Jesus to pay for our sin, that we may trust Him to take us over in the promised land. We've seen the missed blessing, but there's the mighty bridge to the promised land. He said, I want you to go over this Jordan. Aren't you glad that Jesus carried you over and set you down into the promised land? Now the land of Canaan and the promised land is not heaven this morning. Because in there you'll find many, many battles and many burdens and many burials. But I come to tell you this morning, I sure am glad we can enjoy some blessings down in the promised land. You say, well, preacher, you don't realize how bad it is. Sure reminds me of Noah and the ark. When them people went in the ark, it got pretty bad on the inside. But honey, I come to tell you today, what's going on the inside a whole lot better than what's going on the outside. I'm glad my name's written down yonder in glory. I'm glad I'm going in the promised land with the people of God and enjoying the blessings of God, enjoying the fruits of the promised land. Let me tell you, everything ain't gravel, gravy, and wind pudding, amen. Matter of fact, the Bible said they sent them 12 spies into the promised land and they got there at the first fruit harvest. They took them a good machete, cut them down a cluster of grapes, cut them down a hickory stick, put on their shoulders and walked them back in the camp of God and said, this is how, hey honey, I ain't talking about no Piggly Wiggly grapes this morning. I'm talking about grapes from the promised land. Something that's bigger and something that's better that God has for all of His children today. They come carrying them back. They're as big as skull caps. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? Eat a grape big enough you could put a hat on. Somebody say amen. Boy, I love it. Some of you Baptists be trying to make wine out of them before you got home. Amen. But I can tell you one thing this morning. There's wonderful blessings in the promised land. And boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Anybody glad they saved this? Aren't you glad that, oh, there's a mighty Joshua that's taken us into the promised land? What the law could not do, Jesus did it. Glory to God. There's the missed blessing to the promised land. There's the mighty bridge to the promised land. And then Sunday night I preached on the mighty book in the promised land. He said, this book shalt thou not take out of your mouth all the days that you're living in the promised land. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nothing wrong with this Bible. We don't need a new Bible. We need to live out of the one God sent for us to live out of. What's so hard to understand about what thou shalt not? Amen. There's a big difference in a virgin and a young lady. I'll keep the Bible that's got a proven track record this morning. Grandma and Grandpa got saved by the preaching of the Word of God in this old Bible. I believe we ought to hold on to this marvelous book in the new promised land. Glory to God. He said, boy, don't you let it out of your sight. And I praise Him today. And I thank Him so much that we have this marvelous book in the Promised Land. This morning, my thought is brought out of a text verse in 18 of Joshua 2. And I want to preach on the magnificent blood in the Promised Land. You know something? I don't care how far you go, you got to realize it wasn't you that put you in the Promised Land. It's the blood of Jesus that's got you safe and secure in the Promised Land. Now let's look at this magnificent blood. First of all, in chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, "Behold, when we come in the land, thou shalt bind this land of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring your father, your mother, your brethren, all your father's household home unto thee." Now there's the preaching of the blood. I'm glad that there's a woven scarlet line all through our Bible. And I'm going to tell you, the preaching of the blood is still right this morning. You'll notice there's a lot of liberal preachers done stood up and said, "We're not going to preach about the blood because that minimizes our efforts to grow in the community." I will remind you today, honey, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You can be baptized to every catfish in the pond, knows your name, but the Bible said you must be born again, washed in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's still the blood. There's a scarlet thread woven all through the pages of this Bible. Why, in the book of Genesis, you'll find out Adam and Eve sinned. And Adam was walking in the cool of the day, and God came and said, "Adam, where art thou?" And all of a sudden, he said, "I was scared." He said, "Why are you scared?" He said, "Cause I eat the fruit of the tree." Adam sinned that day, but God was so good. The Bible said that He killed an animal and made them skins and clothed them. Aren't you glad there was the shedding of blood to our forefathers? God did not go out and get the water and wash them off. But God killed an animal, made a great sacrifice. There was the first of the shedding of the blood that covered our spiritual forefathers, Adam and Eve. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. Why? Because we were born wrong. I know there's a lot of good families here today, but the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. We must all come under the blood of the darling Lamb of God to be clothed by the skins of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we're placing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad the Baptist church didn't save me. I tell you the problem with some of you, the Baptist got you before Jesus got you. But I'm glad one glorious day my heavenly Joshua came by and washed me in His blood. And now I'm Baptist by conviction. Hallelujah. You say, "What would you be if you weren't Baptist? Ashamed." That's what I'd be. I'm going to tell you, it's still right to do right this morning. Thank the Lord for the bloodline in the Promised Land. Now this scarlet thread run all through the Bible. Somebody shout amen right there. Now it went all the way through this scarlet thread to Genesis 3. Then Genesis 4, they had some children. The Bible said there that Cain killed Abel. Cain brought the firstlings of the ground. He brought the best that he had to worship God. But there's a problem with that. They'd been taught from their father and their mother, if you're going to worship God, you must come to Him by the blood. There must be a sacrifice. There's a lot of you today, you're trying to get an appeasement with God on doing the best you can. You're trying to give your money to satisfy God. You're trying to work. You're trying to come to church. And you're hoping it'll satisfy God. But Cain soon found out that the best he had wasn't good enough for God. I tell you, in your best day and your best hour, you don't have enough to satisfy God. But I'm glad it's the blood this morning. Glory to God. I'm glad when He sees the blood. Hallelujah. Boy, this scarlet line runs through our Bible. All the way to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. The Bible said that Abel brought the firstlings of the flock, and God had respect unto Abel.
And I tell you how good our God is. Even when Cain brought that worldly way in to satisfy God, he said, I'm going to give you another chance. If you'll do as I've commanded you. But the Bible said this, like many Baptists do when they hear a preacher preach above the sound of somebody else's voice. He got mad and went home. He said, I'll do it my way. And as far as we know, he died and went to hell in his sin. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to know that I rode a church pew into hell this morning. Boy, Jesus say. Somebody said, I don't want to be a Christian. Boy, I'm glad I'm one. Boy, I'm having a time of my life. Somebody said, well, I can't live it. Honey, I can't live it neither. So I just enjoy Jesus living through me. Every time I fall down, I try to get up by the grace of God. I'm glad you can go on to glory land. I'm glad the blood is sufficient this morning. In this day and hour, we don't need a new gospel. We've got the blood of the darling Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Help us this morning to preach the blood. Hallelujah. There was the preaching of the blood. There with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Then in Genesis 22, Brother Tim, there, Abraham took Isaac up on a mount. Isaac turned around. He said, Dad, I see the wood. I see the knife and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And he said this profound statement in Genesis 22. He said, oh boy, don't you worry one minute. God's got it covered, for God Himself shall become a lamb. I got some good news for the Jehovah Witness. He's better than a good man. He's God-man this morning. There's never been nobody like Him. There's a lot of boys talk about the weather. But honey, I come to tell you, there's one God this morning that can talk to the weather. He said, peace be still. And it laid down. He's God-man, born of a virgin, raised in this world, but walking as God, robed in flesh in this hour. Are we doing all right? Somebody holler, preach on Sunday. Boy, this scarlet line run all the way back to the foundation. My goodness. Then Moses, the man that's died, carried the law of God. He went to Pharaoh and said, let my children go. He said, I'll not do it. And he sent them 9 plagues. That was devastating. Pharaoh would not let God's people go. God said, okay, buddy, there's a deadline now. Let me tell you, the Bible ain't changed. God's still got a deadline. He said, this 10th plague is going to be more and more severe than it's ever been known unto man. He said, in the midnight hour, he said, all of you children, you get the congregation, kill every house of lamb. You take that blood and you apply it to the 2 sides of the doorpost and on top. And he said, at the midnight hour, the death angel is going to come into Egypt. And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. He said, he's going to take the firstborn of every living thing and every living creature. The Bible said it had never been cries. There had never been such a catastrophe happen in a town like that night. But honey, I come to tell you this morning, about 12:05, there's no doubt there's a lot of mom and daddy that was wondering, was the blood really going to work? But 12:03, the stroke of that midnight, that death angel come in that town taking all the firstborn. Boy, there was the son of Nun, little Joshua, raised his head up. He said, Daddy, I'm glad it worked. Hallelujah. I want to say, Daddy, I'm glad it still works. Thank God it's the blood. Hallelujah this morning. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. He didn't say, when I seen the flowers, when I seen the offering plate, but when I see the blood, I'll pass. I'm glad I was raised up under some old-timey preachers, taught me how to preach on the blood. Thank God for the preaching of the blood. He said, you listen to me, woman. I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. You got to put the blood in your window, and when we see it, we'll save you by God's amazing. Hell, I'm getting help on my preaching this morning. Ain't you glad that the blood can still be applied this day and hour that we live? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The preaching of the blood. I'm glad they're still preaching. I want to say something to mom and daddies. I know I ain't the best preacher going. I'm a long way from the best pastor you'll ever meet. And I'm going to tell you, this church has got problems. You know why? It's got people in it. It's not perfect. But it amazes to me, people will hurt your feelings at Walmart and you'll go back down Walmart. So get you some tough skin and some glue in your britches and stay under the preaching of the blood. Don't go out to some liberal outfit. Ain't got enough brass on his face to tell you how the cow eats the cabbage. Afraid he's going to offend somebody. Our group of deacons going to call him out on the floor. Thank hallelujah. I'm glad it's still the blood. I'm glad you can still preach about the blood of the darling Lamb of God this morning. So I said all that to say this. I'd bring my family back up in here. Get you some preaching. Said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. God ain't looking for no rap artist. God ain't looking for no goldfish swallower. You can get them in the world. But he's looking for some men that'll mind him, that'll preach about the blood and will not apologize about what this Bible said. You write this and you write it down good and you remember it. This preacher didn't write the Bible. He just reads out of the Bible. And it's still worthy to be read this morning. There's the preaching of the blood. Number two. I'm glad some of you are ready for number two. Some of you are ready for number five. Amen. There's the promise of the blood. He said, verse 19, it shall be that. Here's a word, I love it, underline it. I'm glad he said it in his Bible. Whosoever. He said, whosoever shall go in and out of the doors, said his blood will be upon his head and will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. I'm glad for that whosoever word. Brother Dwayne made a statement, prayer room this morning. I wish more of you men would get there and hear what we got to say in there. Boy, to help you for you, like, we need you in prayer room. About 20 minutes to 11. Come on a little early. Get in the prayer room. Pray for your preacher. Pray for those on our prayer. Pray for one for another. Amen. Get in a little early on your job detail. Amen. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. Brother Dwayne said tonight, reason to remember is because it's Super Bowl. Amen. And I realize tonight we don't have church because of the first Sunday night. Don't let nobody tell you this preacher called it off called Super Bowl. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Them's fighting words to this preacher. Amen. Amen. I have the first Sunday night for family time. I enjoy my grandbabies come around my house. Get little Parker in a headlock and sling him out through the gravel. Make a real boy out of him. Amen. I enjoy that kind of stuff. With little Brogan shoes on. His Carhartt overalls. Amen. Some of you better be putting your boys in Carhartt overalls and Brogan shoes. Letting them be a boy. But we ain't calling it off because of Super Bowl. You get that through your head tonight. Brother Dwayne said this. I don't know why, God. Now, y'all think about what I read. I don't preach much more. You think about my reading. This is what Brother Dwayne said in prayer room this morning. He said, I don't know why God would come after a little Catholic boy like me. Wretched, defiled, on his way to hell. Look what God done to this woman. She was a harlot. She had a name over that whole town. I'd love to help Liberty Baptist Church this morning. I've never had no problems out of Rahab's of the community. I've never had problems with the drunkards, the dope. I've never had that kind of trouble, issues with people that's been in a community. But I've had issues with religious people. Thinking they've got everything figured out and think they're more important than who God is. Brother Wayne said, I don't know why God would love me. He said, I've never got over it. God saved me. Can you imagine this woman minding her own business? All of a sudden, God sends two men. It means witness, Brother Adam. Spies. Spying it out as she hit them. Matter of fact, some of the theologians say she done changed her way of living because she done got out of that brothel business and she had flax up on the rooftop. She's done changing. I've noticed about when salvation comes, repentance will come. I've noticed when people get saved, people change. Miss Patsy, a lot of y'all know Miss Patsy, the Hendersons that sing. Lord, I'm getting cold. I don't know if I've done turned y'all off or what it is. Maybe I'm just getting old and got to slow down, Brother David. Miss Patsy was singing this week in Piedmont while I was preaching. I never seen her do this. She got up, this is what she said. She said, I heard a preacher on TV say this, salvation don't change you. I seen Miss Patsy about half irritated for one. Let me tell you, this salvation I'm talking about this morning will change you. We're still human and we make mistakes, but I won't tell you something. When I do make a mistake, I got somebody living in me now saying, you can't do that no more. I'm not happy with that no more. Can you imagine she mind her own business? The two boys walked in, began to tell the old story. And all of a sudden they told her, now some of you don't believe in missions. I guarantee you Rahab does. They turned around and said, I can tell you how you can get saved out of this town. You put that scarlet line in the window. I want to show y'all, give you a little nugget right here that'll help you. You know why they told her to put it in the window? Let me get my composure. It sure is good. Look at verse 15, Joshua 2:15. Let me show you why they told her to put it in the window. Joshua 2:15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window for a house upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. You know why? You know why they told her to use it? Because it worked for them. You know why I want to tell you to use it? Because it's worked for me. I can't tell what it's done for nobody else. Just speculate. But I can tell you what it's done for me. It changed my life. It changed my going. It put my name down yonder in glory land world. Thank God for the promise of the scarlet blood. Said, whosoever. Boy, isn't that amazing? God had saved somebody like me and like her. And so that ought to remind our church about a couple of things. God's very mission-minded. He sent them two spies, means witnesses, out to tell her about the bloodline. And then it tells us something else. He don't care what you've done. And He don't care how long you've been doing it. The blood will take care of it. You know, I'm very fortunate to pastor who I pastored. I mean this all my life. The majority is just rednecks. And I say that out preaching people out, but I mean that's a good thing. I love that. I can relate to your world. And you know, we've got salt of the earth country people. We've got everything from educators, I mean, all the way to a preacher. Isn't that amazing? But let me tell you something. There'll never be nobody walking them double doors. Or them double doors, or soon to be them double doors. I'm believing that by the grace of God, that the blood of Jesus won't wash you clean. Brother David, he named some of the most indiscussable sins that a man could do. And this is what he said. But such were some of you.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mike, ain't you glad what me and you done back yonder? God's got a hand. Promise of the blood, whosoever will come in there. And did you get this? He said, I tell you what, said it would do something to your mom and daddy. It'll do something to your sister and brother. See, church, that's where we've lost our burden. How many of you got family members this morning never been saved? You know where they're going to go? They're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved.
I still believe what the Bible says. You must be born again. It's not an option. There's the preaching of the blood. That scarlet thread runs all through our Bible. There's the promise of the blood. But then there's the participation of the blood. Notice in chapter 2, 21, and she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She moved by faith. Watch this. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. I'm glad those that have moved by faith and have taken the Bible at what it said do can be saved by the grace of God. She believed the Word and she put that scarlet line in her window. Has it ever been a time that you believed the Word? This is what the devil will tell many of you. Oh, you've done too much. Then he'll tell you this. Well, you can be saved tomorrow. But let me ask you something. I wonder what would have happened if she would have delayed putting in the scarlet line in her window. Takes me to my next point. I'm closing. There's the protecting of the bloodline. Joshua 6. Turn over to the right of your Bible. Joshua 6. Watch this now. Joshua 6, verse 16. Came to pass at the set of time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I want to say this morning. Joshua was coming to town. And he said there's going to be a shout. I want to tell you, our heavenly Joshua is coming to town. And let me tell you who he's going to take back to heaven with him. Those that are saved by the blood of the Lamb. You see, there's the protecting. Watch this, Joshua 6. And he said this, verse 22. Joshua said to the two men that had spied out the country, go to the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. They brought them out, all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire. You see, there's the protecting of the blood. Did you know in 2 Peter 3 and 10, people don't really believe this no more, but we sure do need to be reminded of it. 2 Peter 3 and 10, you notice he said when Jesus came to town, he got her out and then he burnt the town down. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or lifestyle and godliness? Looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. You see, it's coming a day when God's going to burn this town down. I've never understood this. Miss Sherry, if y'all would come, get me a song ready. I'm going to share one thing. I'll be done this morning in the preaching. I just remodeled a farmhouse. Didn't put a lot of money in it, really, to remodel it. I told Renee, I said, I guess I better call and get some insurance on it. I called them. You know what? They offered me for an amount that I could get insurance put on this thing. Now, I wonder this morning why we would put insurance on all of our earthly treasures and never have it on our soul. I've preached way too many funerals. I've never seen nobody take anything with them. What we die with in our heart is where we meet God. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. Those that are saved, Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I sure am glad God's coming back one day with a shout.
getting all the saved up out of the graveyard. We're going home to meet the Lord, and we're going to be with Him in the air. What a day that'll be. There'll be another resurrection happen. Those will stand at the judgment bar of God. This book will be there, and we'll judge them of their sin. I'm glad this morning of the protection of the blood. I seen this once, and it's so good, I do want to share it again. And I promise you I'm done. But I want to show this great thought in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and verse 31, on the permanence of the blood. She went now from the house of shame to the hall of fame. And in Hebrews 11, look what it says in verse number 31. The Bible changes when she's in heaven. It says, by faith, and that's the way you're going to get saved if you ever get saved, is by faith. By grace through faith is what that Bible says. By faith, watch, here it is, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed. What are you talking about, the permanence of the blood? Well, here you'll notice when I read in Joshua, it said Rahab the harlot. But here in Hebrews it says the harlot Rahab. There's no harlot after her name. Some of y'all ain't getting that, so I'll bring it back here to where you are. See, before God saved her, her name was Rahab the harlot. But now in Hebrews 11 it's mentioned harlot, the Rahab. Ain't nothing after her name. Well, I'm glad, Brother Adam, when the Lord, son, I'm proud of you. I want you to know that. Brother Tim, I'm proud of you and I appreciate you. Brother Mike, I'm proud of you and I appreciate you. Brother David, I'm proud of you and appreciate you. And I want to tell you this. It don't matter what we've done, the blood of Jesus, when it's applied, there's nothing left after our name. All our sins are gone. You may be here today. Lost, just as lost, never been saved. It'd be a good morning for you to trust our heavenly Joshua Jesus. I don't know of a better morning. I'd ask you this thought. If she hadn't have put that scarlet line in the window, you know where she'd be this morning? Because it's still the blood. You may not have next week. Why don't you come this morning and be gloriously saved by the grace of God? Well, preacher, how do I do that? You simply come as a little child unto the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of your doings. Turn. Follow Jesus. Some of you here, like what Brother Dwayne said, I hope you hadn't forgotten where the Lord found you. We can get carried away in this Laodicean spirit and just think, well, Lord, it's just good to be here. Oh, it's a lot better than that. We're blessed to be here. Stand with us around the house.